Really, Riley?
Really, Riley?
Really, Riley?
Really, Riley?
Really, Riley?
Really, Riley? Are you ready?
This is the Really Riley Podcast. Woo!
Well, hello, beloveds. Happy Monday. Welcome back to Really Riley, my little corner of the world where I like to talk about all things crazy, all things true, all things raw and real, all things me, which sounds kind of weird to say that, but I started this podcast 7 years ago to basically connect further with you and just keep all the bullshit out of the things that I talk about and just be honest. And sometimes it's happy, sometimes it's sad, sometimes it's in between. Today, it's really happy. Like, I felt like Mother's Day kind of came early this weekend. I've got my husband, Marshall. He's my co-pilot for today. And thankfully enough, he did not pester me before this podcast because he pestered me enough today.
Hello.
So you're about to pester me based on your snarkiness in your voice right now. We're both a little tired and loopy because it was a very, very busy weekend. Like, we had my son's soccer game. We had my manifestation workshop at Bull House Winery in partnership with Beauty Boost Baltimore. And all of that was pretty damn incredible. But I don't think anything in life comes that fabulously without like really hard work. And both of the stories I just told you about have come with a lot of hard work. So where should I start first? The manifestation seminar or Lyric being like MVP?
I'd start there. That's chronological.
Okay. You know? This is my husband. This is how our brains work. Like, he's Mr. like organized, chronological, checklist, and I'm just like little Miss Free Spirit all over the place. But I mean, I guess it works because we've been married almost 3 years. Can you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that nuts? Like, I was thinking about that today, talking about it in the manifestation seminar and thinking about a lot of different things. But all right, we'll start with the game. So lately, Lyric honestly hasn't really been playing as great as he normally does. Like, because Lyric, my son's 8. He's been playing soccer since he was 5, 6. So 2 solid seasons.
No, I think this
three?
Is, yeah, this is on his 3rd.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's funny because when we look at the pictures on the fridge, it's like he looks so tiny in the first one. And now he just looks like this grown thing. It's hilarious. One of the people that was at my manifestation seminars today said like one of his friends or buddies was like watching a video of his kids play at the gym. And he's like, wait, I know that little kid. He's like, it's this number, like his little hair. I see his curly hair. I was like, aw. And it's crazy to watch him grow into something that he's super passionate about, because all too often, I mean, we lucked out. This is his first sport he's ever tried. All too often kids like try something and they're like, meh, I don't want to do it anymore. And then you as the parent that was at every single freaking practice and spent the money for, you know, the cleats or the uniforms or whatever. Like, I was a dancer for most of my childhood, and then I went into cheerleading and then did a lot of other stuff on the side. So I didn't really like quit things. Oh, and my mom was so mad when I quit ballet for cheerleading. That was not fun. But Lyric is so passionate about soccer. Mm-hmm. And the thing of it is, you know, you've been around since he was 3. And so it's like to see him as this like little baby that's just playing, to have something that he focuses on, wouldn't surprise me if the ADHD gene passed on with Lyric, because, you know, the kid is focused on his iPad and soccer. And he's all over the place like his mom. But when soccer comes around, he is focused. Like, you were a coach, wouldn't you say? Like, that's his one space where nothing else in the world enters his mind but that at that moment.
Yeah. I mean, and even from last season to this season, I think that's different. You know?
Well, you can explain more about this because I don't know these things, but I've said it before that he was like, he's supposed to be U8 and he's U10.
Yeah. So he played up last year and then
played up. So he was like the pinch hitter on the weekends for.
Yeah. Well, the commissioners reached out and they wanted him to play to kind of like back up this one team.
Yeah.
It was the fall season for the 3rd and 4th graders. So that's U10.
And he's 2nd grade. So he's playing with kids that are like, some of them are 2 years older than him. And I remember him being so nervous for like the first like championship that he did, as he calls it. Like, it was like a weekend game where there was a double header. What is that what they call it? I don't know. There's like 2 games. And the kids weren't really throwing him much respect. I guess I get it. You know, they don't practice together. And then this kid just comes in and like, you know, is essentially the star player on the field, because he was like, being as young as he was. I kind of know what that feels like to be the new person that comes into a team that doesn't want you because you're better than them?
Well, a lot of the kids, they pull from like three elementary schools. So it's like, he's saying now, like, there's only like, you know, one or two of that go to his school. So it's like,
I had a metaphorical point there that you missed.
No,
because once upon a time I came into a very big situation where I was treated like I was the underdog. I was treated like I didn't belong there. And then when I did belong there and then some, I got pushed out. But Lyric doesn't let it bother him. Like, his swagger when he's on the field is completely, don't you agree, he's like a different kid when he's out there. It's like, I see this little man versus the kid, you know, because a lot of times when kids are like unsure of themselves, they'll like fidget their hands or like they kind of like assume that like childlike stance. When he's on the field, to see him like walk backwards on the field.
Well, I mean, he's got a presence out there.
He does. You know? And it's like, I guess it would be like the same way, like when I step on a stage, you know, shoulders up, chest out, like it's a different thing.
Yeah, it's just
thing.
He's in his element, you know.
Exactly. And it's sort of like when I see you at the gym, you know, like the first time I actually like allowed myself to be impressed by that, because at first I was trying to be a hard ass, like, you ain't got school, me in the gym, motherfucker. It was like that. And it's really neat to see my little baby, because I will always see him as this little like 10-month-old kid have that. But lately, he hasn't really been playing that great.
It's kind of like it comes in waves throughout the game. You can tell like there's certain plays and stuff like that he's on, and then others he's kind of like,
man.
But I mean, the past few games though, they've kind of let him like free range.
Well, because don't you think that he was playing a little funky because they were putting him in positions he hadn't been in before? Because last year it was kind of like, okay, you're playing, go wherever you want. This year it's like, no, you have a position, stay there.
Well, yeah, but I think that's good. You know, I told him like,
I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying that's why he wasn't playing the way we know it. Oh, I'm sorry. You were going to have your coach talk, and I'm cutting you off per se.
Well, no, I mean, you want to be well-rounded.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, and I also feel like the things that, like, if you can master things that are hard for you and be like that killer in all ways, you know, I don't know. The way I can equate it to radio is like, yeah, you can be good on air, but if you're not good with like sales or, you know, social media or doing commercials or like, you know, community involvement, you're just a one trick pony. Mm-hmm. That's not Lyric. And I remember, you know, I did the podcast on Major Mom Fail or Major Mom Guilt, that I wasn't there at the last game because I was working, getting ready for the manifestation seminar. I was so damn devastated. So this game, damn it, I don't care that it was raining. I don't care that I revealed my Puerto Rican again. And I'm so mad at you that you did me like this. Like, how are you going to not let me know that I have this big old curly Q on the top of my head blowing in the wind like a homing beacon?
Well, you were so excited, like, talking about it.
I know.
Like, if I interrupted you, that probably would have been worse.
I don't know. I think I would have let you slide for that one. But Malin was there, and, like, he was on the playground with Marshall. And, you know, I was just sitting there with my umbrella with a blanket and gloves and my hood up and just focusing on this game. And they were doing really well in the beginning of the game, and it was a slow start because Lyric didn't play at first, you know, like he didn't start, and they were doing well. And then, you know, God bless this little goalie kid, he let like three goals go. And like, Sino, at what point do you like say like that's not your position? Because it's like, you know, every kid has, you know, I guess you have to like try to make him better, but if you're like literally like The kids are like losing the game because you're in that position. Like, can't we put it in a different position?
Well, what they're doing, they're basically creating like a separate, like almost club team for the league.
That's okay.
Tryouts are like in 2 weeks. So it'll take out that problem. Because I mean.
That can't be good for that kid's psyche either.
No, I mean, like, I don't want to be an asshole, but it's like, you know, if you got two left feet, like, maybe that's just not your thing.
Right. Like, I can carry a tune, but I can't sing, so I didn't get the solo and chorus.
It's like, as some people are, you can't make a line of vegetarian. You know what I mean? It just is what it is. Like, you have a certain set of skills, and you need to, you know, move around and find those. But
everybody always tried to ask me my views on this, that, and the third. And there's a lot that I won't touch because I'm just not in the mood to argue with people. But we, Marshall and I, definitely subscribe to the school of thought of there's not trophies for trying. You're not the best. And you're not like, yay. At a certain age, you have to know what it is to lose.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you cripple them if you don't.
Uh-huh. And so I was like kind of okay with Lyric being taken out of, actually, no, at first I wasn't. I was bitching about it. I was like, put him in the role he's like comfortable in. But I was like, because I don't like seeing my baby like down on himself, because Lyric is a lot like me. He's very hard on himself. He's very empathic. He's a very generous player. Like, he tries to play by the rules, but kind of not really. Could you ever notice, like, if a kid tries him on the field, He doesn't like go fight, like, you know, fight them or yell at them or stomp. He just kind of looks at you like, all right, motherfucker, and just go scores on you. I love that about him because he's way more gentle than I ever was.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm one. When I coach, we're running the score up.
I think, like, I don't know, maybe he gets that from you a little bit, because people say this about you a lot. Very few people have ever seen even a hint of you angry. I think I've only seen you angry, like, I don't know, I can count on one hand in the time that we've been together. You know, together for 5 years, married for almost three. But people say this about you a lot. Like, Marshall seems, you know, sweet. I can't picture him angry, but he does seem like the type that if you fucking push that button, he... And I think Lyric's like that, but in like this, like, all right. He's like Arya Stark in the male form. Like, I'm gonna get your ass. I see you. So in this game, they started, like, they were like tied and they were like just scoring goals left and right on this poor kid. And this one little goalie... I know I shouldn't be saying anything about like other people's kids, and I don't know this kid for anything. I'm sure he's very sweet, but not really. But he's always like, yeah! Ah! He was that kid. We only got one point! And I'm at the end of this on my period, and I'm like, oh my God. And then this one little kid is no taller than Malin, maybe a little bit taller than Malin, but he's a little guy. He's very fast. I watch this little kid, like, they don't push them. They don't, like, do it on purpose, air quotes, but he'll like go to get the ball and use his hip a little harder and like punch this little kid. And I was like, what the fuck? I had to like hold my mouth. I was like, you know, and then he goes and tries to get the ball with his leg, but effectively trips the other kid. So I'm irritated by that.
I don't hate it.
Marshall.
Sorry.
You're a turd. But they're like, you know, Lyric is trying really hard. He's staying his position. And I'm just like, damn, like there's only like 5 minutes left and they would have tied. So it would have been fine. But Lyric had a really hard week at school. So obviously I want him to do really well. And I was there for the game. And I remember him saying at the last game when I couldn't go, he's like, I want you there because you yell for me. Whereas first it was like he would get embarrassed by it. And he's very much like he cares about what his friends think of him. So we have this funny little thing and I don't really know where we came up with this. It's like a little code for like, I love you. We say olive pizza. I think that's what it was because I was like, I love you. And he didn't want to say that on the field at first. So it's like olive pizza. And now like when we tag each other, we go olive pizza. And we even have Malin saying it. I don't know why. We like olive pizza in our family. But he was looking kind of down and tired. And I was like, Lyric. And he thought I was going to yell at him. But I was like, olive pizza. And it was the first like genuine smile I saw on his face. It's cold. It's rainy. And he looks at me and smiles and just thumbs up. So then we're getting to the end of the plays, whatever. And it's like, I don't know, like 2 minutes to the end of the game. And these kids are so excited to try and like, you know, tie. So they get the ball all the way down to the goal, don't score. They get all the way back. Somebody like one of the other kids tried to kick it in. I won't give his name, but he's the one that the blonde kid that always like is like scores all the time. And he's like aggressive and in a good way. Little Johnny from, you know, Cobra Kai is what I'm going to call him. The goalie is like, ah, yeah. Like, you know that scene in the original Karate Kid that this little guy's like, this guy's like cheering Johnny on and he has this wicked laugh. He's like, yeah, Johnny. That's this kid. You can picture it now, right? I was so annoyed. Little fucking hyena. Sorry. But I see little kid that got punted earlier. Because this other boy was like coming around going, I was like, he's going to score. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Let me not manifest that little, I don't know what you would call him, whatever, like the good kid comes out of nowhere, like this little sprite and punts him and does the same thing the other kid did at that time. I was like, yeah. So then I see Lyric on the other side and he's like magic when he's out there. Like his footwork and how agile he is so quick and so like, I don't know. It's beautiful to watch. I don't know anything about sports, but that's my baby. So obviously. But I see him just trying so hard. And I look, I got goosebumps. There was like 10 seconds left in the game. Nobody thought it was going to happen because there was like 10 kids around him. And he just runs up and I saw his little face just so focused in and just draws back like fucking Beckham and boom. And it was in slow-mo for me. I saw it and it was like, whoa. And you see this little, I just got goosebumps. You see this little goalie kid like diving to save this. And I'm watching it and it goes, literally it could have been an inch in the upper corner to where nobody would have touched it. And scream. I was like, yeah! Everybody's screaming for him. And this moment was so special because he wasn't an ass about it. He wasn't like running across the field and pounding his chest. He just put his head down and had the biggest, sweetest smile. Goes over to his coach. His coach picked him up. You know, he had the winning fucking goal. And I was so elated. It was like I had won $1 million. And when he came off the field, he came over to me and he was just like smiling. And I go, come over here, you cute little talented kid. I was so excited. I didn't give a shit who thought I was crazy. And I just took his little head in my hands. I was like, I'm so proud of you. I think I might've said so fucking proud of you. I don't care, whatever. And he looks at me, goes, mom, he's like, that olive pizza really just like recharged me. I was so tired. And you said that. And I heard olive pizza and I was like, okay, focus. And he's like, I was running towards the ball and I saw your face and I could hear you go, Lyra, go, look, go. We got this. And I just focused and hit the goal. And I was like, ah! Like this moment, like that's what it feels like to be a mom for me. I grew up in a family where it was like, you know, a bunch of women and they were very competitive. And even, you know, my mom, I say this all the time, like if I'd had a girl, I fear that that would have been a thing. Like they're very kind of like my family with the daughters that were involved in the family where it was a very like a narcissistic parenting situation where, you know, you're jealous of your child, you know, you want them to do well, but not better than you. Right. And if they do well, it needs to be something that's focused around you. And that was your achievement. And I didn't look at it like this. I saw what hard work he's put in and it has nothing to do with like us being on the field or whatever, because you want your child to have those moments. But to have him say he did it for me, like, ooh, you know, and I was squealing all over the place. I was like, did you see that? When I came to the car with you, and it was just, he gets in the car and he goes, God, I love my life. Mother's Day was right there. I don't need anything else. Like, to go from feeling so low about not being there before to be there and have him, like, be so inspired by me. Like, yeah, I always say, like, I want to inspire people and I want to be, like, a mentor to people. But to have your kids say that to you at 8 when they're little shits, he's the greatest thing ever. Like, I don't even know like what more to say without being gross, you know, like gushy gushy over my kid, but he is my greatest creation. Like, obviously I have 2 sons, you know, but Malin doesn't know who he's going to be yet. But what are you looking at me like that for? You're like making fun of me. Stop. What?
No, I'm not. I mean, it's a special moment, you know, because at that age, you know what I mean?
It's like to
have that, you know,
World Cup moment.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I would think that's probably like his biggest moment he's had so far, you know, and, you know, to kind of have that as a motive, because I mean, most of these kids, it's like you're playing because it's fun or you're playing because, you know, you're being told you have to, or mm-hmm. to fit in. It's for every other reason, you know, so to have that motivation and drive, it's different.
It's like, this is his like zen. This is his, you know, I can chill and focus on nothing else. Like, it's like when I always say in the gym, like when the weight of the world is on your shoulders and you go there and actually put the weight of the world on your shoulders and you have to do a squat and you can't think about the bills outside or, you know, this asshole broke up with me for whoever's going through that. I don't have to go through that. I know, babe, I'm married. You looked at me funky when I said that. But it's just like you have the bar on your shoulders and you're just like, okay, I have to do this squat, you know, like lats back, like your form, you're worried about your feet, the toes gripping, so you know you literally cannot think about anything else unless you're gonna hurt yourself. And I don't know, it's like that moment like slowed time for me. But you felt kind of sad because you missed it. Like, I but imagine what I felt the week before when he had that goal.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a proud moment, you know, and it's like it was a lot of different things.
Was it bad that I love that you kind of felt sad? It's not, that doesn't sound right. I saw like that you, cause you've been for the last 5 years, just as much a part of this as his life and helping raise him and being the man in his life. As I'm, you know, I'm not a man, I'm his mom, but you know, you're right there. Because when you start at three, he was just barely over three, mm-hmm. and he's eight now. And it's like, you're the man in his life. So I don't know. I kind of wanted to, like, I wanted you to get laid that night. You know, we were just tired. Because that's why I was like, you know, that's why I fell in love with you. And what were one of the reasons in the beginning, you know, because how much you cared about it.
Well, I mean, it's nice to see like that pure
joy.
Yeah. Pure joy and passion for it. Because, you know, a lot of that, like I didn't have. So to like.
Why? You mean when you were in sports?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you didn't have the joy and the passion for it? Why?
No, not that. I didn't have like.
The support.
Yeah. So that was cool. And, you know, seeing like, you know, kind of what that is. Because I think for him, it's different at a younger age. It took me a long time to figure that out. You know, where he plays because he loves it. And, you know, like I love wrestling too. But like my motivation and drive were much different.
What was your motivation and drive? So side note, for those of you guys that don't know, Marshall did wrestling like, I don't know, like as a career, I guess as a student, you know, you did it for how many years from like,
actually I was a late starter for wrestling. So I started.
Late starters got to try harder sometimes.
I started in eighth grade and it was a similar situation. I got second at my first tournament and they bumped me to travel.
Yeah.
So, but I mean like for me, it was more looking back on it and why I was so good. Like I was fighting like insecurity. So I think for him to like see like that pure joy and stuff, that's different. So like that's what training then became for me. So
interesting the way that, cause I say that's interesting just because of the fact that like with Lyric, he gets insecure in other ways. Cause he has no reason to be insecure. He's a talented, beautiful, funny kid. He's that kid. And I can say that not just because he's mine. He has that like it thing that people just gravitate to him, but he's going to have to deal with adversity because of that. You know, like you had like would have to deal with adversity because you weren't confident. He deals with adversity because people want to take that confidence away. I get that. I've been there. I'm still there. And I tell him that all the time, that it's like, kid, you're going to have people that are going to want to take and grab and steal every single thing that you have. But somebody that I recently, you know, like became connected with or whatever, you know, when I went for a client meeting and now we're just cool, that she said to her mother said to her, like, when people try to steal and scrape what you are off of you, you become like Vaseline and just slick them off. But Mel, that's like really interesting. That's the first time you ever see, I love this microphone and this is why I love this podcast. It's the first time you've ever said that to me. Because when I first asked you what was wrong, like why you were sad, because I was like so excited. And usually when I get that way, you love it. Even right now, you're looking at me like kind of just like you want to throw up. Like, did you just like connect with that emotion? Because yeah, I've never heard you say that.
No, I mean, like, I've thought about it more.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, a lot of times, like, I don't know, like, what I'm thinking, you know. Like, well, take that back. In a professional sense, it's much different for me.
Sure.
Like, I can identify that, like, in milliseconds and, you know.
Like, when you're a police officer, yeah. You're on the road and you have to deal with, like, feelings, emotions, whatever.
Yeah, that or, like, business or, you know, whatever. But when it's, like, emotional stuff, like, I didn't really ever deal with that. So.
Yes, you did. Well, you didn't get to deal with it. You had to push it down.
Well, no, but you know what I mean? Like I didn't connect dots. So sometimes that takes a little bit longer, but I think it was like a culmination of a lot of different things. So I think
in that moment of feeling and seeing that, you know, get that though.
So like, I mean, like that's big for him, you know, to be that. And it's like, you want to develop that more, you know, along with, you know, strength conditioning and everything else.
Oh, you're trying to run away from it now. Like I'm staring at you like a damn hawk now, because that's the first time you've ever said that. Like, okay, so somebody asked me this last year. We're going off on a total side note, you guys. We're going to get to the manifestation stuff more, but now that Marshall's actually opening up, I want to dive into this a little bit. Somebody asked me on Ask Riley last week if you would ever open up about things with your adoption and things with your parents, and I said that would be completely up to you. So no pressure, but would you ever want to? Because people, we touch upon it as a why, you know, they're not around, we don't speak to them, and we don't really go further. And I've always said, like, that's your bag, that's not mine.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be, like, opposed to it, you know?
Because, you
know,
when you say stuff like that, that you didn't have what I had on the field in that way, like, what Lyric had, like, this, their mother is completely, like, overjoyed for you, and that, you know, that...
Well, I mean, I don't think she ever came to, like, an actual match.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, maybe... I think the only one ever was probably like senior night. Like, I don't remember a tournament. I can't, like, thinking back on it. Like, my dad was there in terms of like every match, every practice, like everything. You know, he'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, he'd drive in, you know, an hour to work, come home, and like whatever I had, like, he was always there taking me to and stuff like that. So it wasn't like it was this abandoned thing and I was like catching rides from people and stuff like that. But
no, but would you think it's fair to say that for men, boys, because I only have boys, and I know that you were adopted, so this might be a little different of a thing, that there's always that need for mama?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's that. I think it was probably a combination of that and the fact that, you know, a lot of the strongest like male mentors I had in my life were either coaches, mm-hmm. or they were in like the professional space. You know, sure. Like when I did an internship with a physical therapist, you know, like I've always had, you know, and there's a ton, you know, on the department, but like I've always been in a position where it's like I've had people that have been more experienced or like where I want to go to, mm-hmm. see something in me, and they'll invest time into me to kind of develop me. So I've gotten a lot of that throughout my life, which I think isn't a complete substitute, but I didn't have like a strong figure that was, you know.
Here's a fun side note for that. Because I said this, like my therapist said this to me like a couple weeks ago, actually. Healing your inner child, if you focus in on it and look at it that way, could be simultaneous with raising your children the way that you want them to be. So like healing your inner child could be very much like therapeutic for you and giving your children what you didn't have, because therein, like, I know that you're probably going to roll your eyes at me at this because you're way more like stoic and to the point, but from like a inner child healing sense, it's like, it's okay to tell your inner child that, like, give that inner child what you didn't have as an adult. And I struggled with that a little bit. Because, you know, my mom was like you too. She was there at everything, but she was there for the wrong reasons. It was for her. Because, let's face it, the minute I got a radio, it was like whatever I was doing after that was subpar.
So your point on that, I mean, it's like when you're there, it's gotta be for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. Because it's like you're not really like fertilizing and like growing.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, so
if for me, it's like if I'm gonna be out there like getting my hair curly in the damn rain, cold as shit, because you know I don't like being cold. You know it's for the right reasons, but the way I think about this weekend and I think about like what you were feeling in that and what I was feeling in that, it's like this week, for the first time, coming off a week of complete mom guilt, I actually was exactly the mom I wanted to be. It was like, just like fucking pure joy watching my kid get that moment and being so honored to be there. Wow, that's crazy what a twist that was to like understand you more in that moment. Why you felt sad.
I forget who said, I can't find the quote, but I think it was Ed Milet. And it's like, you're like the person that's been hurt the most in certain situations is the most qualified to help. I'm doing it a misjustice because I don't have the actual.
No, I get it. Like, I mean, but there's like, because I always think like hurt people, but like you want to give off what you didn't get, essentially.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think it's different too. Like as a parent, you always want your kids to do better than you did.
Not everybody. They don't always. Ours don't.
But.
What? Did I go too far?
No. I mean, I don't think that they're. Well, I mean, I think half the time, you know, some people kind of need like a license to do that.
Yeah. So I'm going to kind of table this one a little bit, because if you're going to go there, we need to like chat and go there, because people have been asking about it. And everybody loves them some Marshall. I become dust. I'm kidding. But well, no, if we're going to go there at one point, we need to go there. You know, because I honestly find this fascinating. Because somehow when I get you behind a mic, you'll open up like a damn flower. But then when I want to just talk to you in like our like alone time, it's like nothing. Yeah, like it was an incredibly emotional wave. And it's like finding those moments in life and finding joy in them. I don't know.
Well, I have the perfect segue for the next segment.
Oh, and the vision board, yes. Well, tell me the photo that you sent me.
So
after the game.
Yeah, I had a bunch of different stuff on here.
On his vision board from last year. Was this last year?
No, this is this year's.
Oh, this is 2024.
This is 2024. So I had a picture from the fall, like at the end, we always do like a family picture. So I put like MVP spring and fall season.
So. And when he got off the field, I don't think I told you this. Oh my God, did you manifest this?
It was on the board.
So Lyric said when he either got in the car or whatever, and like he was like so elated, he's like, Mom, I went over to the field, or I went over to the, you know, other soccer players, my teammates, and he's like, they were calling me the MVP. Remember those same kids that wouldn't give him any kind of respect or pass the ball to him at all? I don't know.
It's the three stages.
Yeah. So moving into the manifestation stuff. Hey, high five, babe. Yeah. You just don't forget who taught you how to manifest. Give it to me. Mm-hmm. Who did it?
You did.
Say it with proud, sir.
You did.
Thank you.
But that was a good segment. Transition.
Jesus. See, there he is. Always trying to steal my microphone. Anyway, but we moved into manifestation this weekend. I had my manifestation seminar, and I have been working my ass off for this one. I don't know why this one felt like so much more preparation, because this is the, what, the fifth one that I've done now? Ish, I think.
Fourth, I think.
No? Because there was the one at Vintage. There was one at Creative Motion. There was one in Dallas that I did. There was...
Oh, well, yeah, I wasn't including that.
This one. What was the other one that I did?
Well, I wasn't including that one because...
It's still included. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But this one I started doing a lot more of like the findings and the accessories for the vision boards myself, because it was like, I don't know. I think so many people that I knew were coming, like I knew what they were wanting to manifest, and I just wanted to like make it even more personal. And then I also had like a bunch of new styles coming out for the candles that I always like to bring out there. And I just wanted it to be, you know, still very special and fresh and new for the people, the OGs that come out, and I thank you, thank you, thank you, my We Got This Army, that come out to like everything, because I don't want to just hear the same shit over again. Mm-hmm. And I was also feeling very insecure at this one. Like I didn't feel, but I do this every time. I wasn't feeling my outfit. I wasn't feeling what I wanted to say. I never feel ready. But then at some point, like when it was all coming together, I had like these notes that took me a damn hour to cut out on the Cricut. And because I wanted them to be like symmetrical and pretty and whatever, that I didn't even really use them. I just wanted to like speak from the heart. And there was one piece of my presentation that I was like, am I going to do this? Because it seems super like narcissistic. And I want to be anti that. It didn't seem inspirational. It almost felt like self-serving. And I didn't want to do that up there. But then again, I always tell people, like, know your value. Ask for what you want. And if I'm the one presenting a manifestation seminar on vision boards and manifesting your perfect life, then fuck it. I'm going to do it. So a lot of people sometimes want, like, success stories. And some of them, you know, would maybe want one past mine. So I was talking about how Jim Carrey used, you know, used manifestation, Lady Gaga, Oprah. So I wanted to give manifestation quotes at the end. So I was giving ones from Oprah, you know, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Albert Einstein, Tom Ford. And then at the very end, I quoted myself. And that seemed frivolous and silly for me to do, but then it wasn't. Because I'm not going to give you the quote. You know, I'll have it available, but I have to figure out which vein I want to do that. We got this army. Don't worry, you're going to get it. But as I was saying it at the very end, I was like, you know, Raquel Weider, a.k.a. Riley Couture, you know, radio personality, podcast host, mother, friend, wife. And then I said, end is ready to take over the world. And I was shaking, crying as I said this. But then I looked in the audience and all these people that were like there for me from jump were crying too. And there was just this fucking energy again that I was like, but like, I just felt all of a sudden like, okay, I did something here. Because a lot of times there was some new people in the audience that like, when you can't read them, it always makes me feel weird. Like, did they like it? I don't like, what was the first thing I said to you and you came over?
How was that? Like, you were just kind of like, I felt like you kind of felt like blah about it.
I did at first, but then once the like speech was over and like my performance hat, because you do have to be, you know, you have to give them what they want. You have to be very in it and very passionate about it. And it takes a lot out of me though. But then speaking to people afterwards, especially the people that were stoic and hearing them and watching the connection, I was like, oh, okay, I did get you. I did touch you. I did make you believe it, because that's what it's about. And that's worth everything to me. Because when, not if, when I take over the fucking world and this podcast goes number one on Apple charts, I am manifesting that shit. I'm going to remember that. And I built that. Me. From the ground up. From fucking ashes, friends. Me. And you. Kind of. If you ever divorce me, don't pull this clip. Oh my God. The eye roll I just got. You guys, if you haven't seen it, at Riley Couture, it's a mean one. What?
Nothing.
Well, I mean, you've become so stoic about it. It's not like you came up to me and gave me a big old hug and screamed, go, like I was with Lyric. You didn't even, Jesus, you were too worried about that fucking, what was that mic you were putting on me, by the way?
That's a new one I got. It's a DJI wireless one.
Again, this is where our minds go. I am the one that's like ushy gushy about it, and it's a DJI, what the fuck is that? A DJI, huh?
The company's DJI.
A doji booty?
No, they're like the top.
Yeah, if you roll your eyes back in your head at me like that one more time, you're not getting laid for a month. Let me just fucking tell you. Jesus. You're sassy today. What's wrong with you? Jiminy Christmas. People are going to think I'm being mean. You're being sassy. There was at one point I needed my phone to look up a crystal, and he's over there because I got a, what was that, the square thing? Mm-hmm. And you're like ringing up a candle, and I'm like, babe, what are you doing? He's like, eh. I was like, boy, I will kill you. This is married life, friends. After I was saying all those nice things about you in the manifestation seminar, and you want to be sassy as fuck.
I mean, I'm...
What?
Trying to ring up candles.
I'll bite you. Anyway, it was really great. Like, taking photos, and the setting was so great. Wasn't Bullhouse Winery really pretty?
No, I mean, like that, and the backdrop, and...
It was nice. It was a gray day, but it was like, everybody was like... so connected. And some of the greatest compliments I can ever get when I leave there is everybody kept messaging me saying I met some great people today. Like Drew, one of my OG, we got this army, I finally got to meet his wife, and she's fucking amazing. Like, you know, I just get those vibes from people. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, oh God, it's like, eh, you know, because I've conversed with her husband obviously way more than her. But that's going to change. No, I'm kidding, Drew. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just, I always want to be respectful of that, obviously. Mm-hmm. But she was so sweet. It was just really great. It was, for all the work and all of the broken nails, because I've got like 7 of them. It was just like, it came to fruition. And it's just like, for having people like really feel seen, to give a gift like that is really cool. Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to bring the go-kart out there.
What?
Like, you see that land?
The hell did your mind go?
Well, I'm thinking of like the inside venue, and like it was just really nice scenery, but like that backdrop is like a huge hill. So it's like, you know, in terms of like a backstop, like for shooting, like everything. I mean, that was like...
That is what you were thinking? Of all the things that I said, did you not hear any of that damn thing about our wedding day and the photo and me visualize? Jesus, criminy, Marshall, no, Jesus. Is this what happens 3 years
no,
in?
No, I heard all of it.
Good God.
It was a blush
deer.
Dress.
Dear. You know? Dear, that's what he's thinking of. I'm showing the picture of the most beautiful I've ever been in my life, gushing about him and my wedding ring and deer and go-karts. Deer and go-karts.
No.
The fucking ruling is in. You are not getting laid tonight, just so you know. Jesus criminy. Ugh.
No, I mean, I thought it was really good.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like you right now. Manifested him, friends.
Love you.
Don't love you. Shithead. Anyway,
that's not nice.
I'm not a nice person, and you know this. This is our like running joke whenever he says that I'm not nice. I'm like, well, I'm not a nice person. Anyway, it was amazing, and a lot of you guys are asking me when I'm doing my next one. I don't know, because it is a lot of work, and it is a lot of emotional work too, though. Because
I mean, to have that energy in the room, you got to like exude it, you know.
Well, yeah, and I'm an empath though. Like when people tell me things of their worries or whatever, like it's not like it's a burden, but I do take it in, and then I'm like. You know, I'm sitting with that later because I don't take any of that lightly that people trust me with those stories. And, you know, I'm proud to do that. But it says there is something about it being in person that's so special. But I've been mulling over this one for a while to do an online one. Still semi in person. You would still get all the goodies, all the findings. I would want you guys to get your own vision boards because that's a lot to ship. But people have been loving and actually ordering the findings as stickers that I made because that makes me proud that they love them. But I'm thinking about it. Like, message me what you think if you would want to come to that. Like, it would be like an online Zoom. There would still be community. People would still be in the room. But it might actually almost be a little easier, too, because I think the way that I would do it is this. So it's not like some random thing that I'm sending you, unless you wanted that, unless you wanted just like an intuitive package that like I could send you just intuitive things in general, or like I could customize it too. Like maybe you want to manifest love, so all your findings are manifested towards love and your crystal is manifested towards that. And you'd still get the goodies, like the giveaways that I give you. And then, you know, probably like an hour Zoom or something like that. Mm-hmm. But then it might be a little bit easier on me in terms of like a workload of like, you know, because most of these events that I go, like I want to go everywhere. So they're like 2 hours away. So it's a lot of time away from the boys. Like I will do another one, but I think maybe because I had somebody in Florida that wanted to come. I have people in Georgia that want to come. So this could be a way until I go national with it, because we're manifesting all things today. But thank you. Thank you. Thank you for you guys like giving me that vehicle to feel so inspired. Like it's been a dope weekend.
No, it was a great event.
Thanks.
I wasn't just talking about that. That was just
deer and go-karts. Yeah.
Well, I'm just talking about all the things that you have.
Oh, now he's like, damn it, I want sex. She's not going to give me any booty unless I say something right now. Mm-hmm. You can eye roll me all you want. Mine is bigger, boo. Anyway, you're still cute. I love you.
Love you
and
too.
Thank you for all your help today. Even though you were annoying the shit out of me with that fucking microphone. See, like, he knows that I want that. He knows that, like, I want good quality and I want to, like, he wants the best for me. But damn it, when I say I want this in the moment, please just give it to me. What?
I need an iPad for that.
iPad for what?
The square.
Oh my God. You see where his mind goes? Anyway, I'm going to stop because y'all are going to be like, nobody wants to hear a married couple bicker. Any who's obese. If you guys want to get in on that, like if you think I should do that, I've been kind of mulling that around. Maybe I will. And email me at reallyrileypodcast@gmail.com. If you have an Ask Riley, email me there. Also on the podcast this week, I'm excited about this one. Dare I say I'm entering in my Swiftie era. And it's all because of one song. And I know TikTok listens to you because I found this viral TikToker just like me, not the person that really listens to Taylor Swift. And he's going through and doing like a journey of listening to the songs. And I want to like chit chat with him. Like, what music did you listen to before? Like, why did you even start this journey? Like, what song was it for you that was like, oh, okay. Because I never got the Swiftie thing. Don't at me, or at me if you want to. We can chat about it. But lately, there's been a few songs, one in particular that I was like, oh my God. And that's the reason why I got into radio in the first place. And media is music. Lyric, hello, my son's name. So it's going to be fun. So again, reallyrileypodcast@gmail.com. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, if you want to talk about something on the podcast, you think there's an interesting guest I should chat with, please hit me up. It's almost Mother's Day, friends. And side note, I have a lot of Mother's Day goodies that I can still ship out for you for Mother's Day if you've been slacking. And also check out the Riley's Fave 5 last minute Mother's Day gifts, or Mother's Day's gifts that we really want. And if you want to at my husband and tell him he shouldn't be thinking about deer when I'm talking about our wedding dress, you can do that at TheFitMarshmallow on Instagram and at LawnCarePoppy on Instagram. What? Yeah. I only speak the truth. At Riley Couture, at House of W by Riley, and at Really Riley Podcast. And thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, y'all. It's Really Riley.